During America's 30-year war in Afghanistan, it became a common trope in American national political discourse to talk about bombing the uncivilized mountain tribesmen of Afghanistan back into the Stone Age. And in doing so, I guess some in America were expressing both American arrogance, but also a long tradition of seeing the peoples of highlands, of mountainous regions, as being less civilized than the Great River Plains that we discussed last week on the Burning Archive. And these sentiments have been expressed, the mountain cultures of Afghanistan, the highlanders of Scotland, and the great civilizations in the mountains of the Andes and Mesoamerica. And it's those civilizations that we're looking at in this series on civilizations in all the environments of the world today on the Burning Archive. Welcome to the Burning Archive's Summer of Civilizations. I am Jeff Rich. This is the Burning Archive podcast, where I help you see the world more clearly with some quality world history. And there are all sorts of reasons in 2024 to want to explore all of world history's civilizations. And I am going to guide you on that journey through this special summer season of the podcast of 12 or a few more episodes. So I'm reaching back to some earlier podcasts I did in 2020. That look at the history of civilizations. One of the problems with looking at the history of civilizations is so much has been written about them. But fortunately, I knew of a guide in the form of one great book, one great history book, written by the historian Felipe Fernandez Amesto, who I had the pleasure and the privilege to interview late last year on the podcast. One book, Civilizations, that can offer you a creative, accessible, imaginative, and in many ways quite delightful, generous world tour of the history of the world's civilizations. His book, Civilizations, has that theme, and it's very important that he expresses it in the plural. There are more than one way to skin a cat, and there is more than one way to lead a civilized life. And if you'd like to explore the history of civilizations more, and also to go on the journey through the history of the world's civilizations, that enormous journey in an achievable, simple, compressed form by reading through a single book with me and discussing it more, I'm going to be offering a very special program starting in February, where I take you through the ideas, the concepts, and the history of the civilization, the history of civilization as articulated through Felipe Fernandez Amesto's book. And I'll give you a little bit more information about that new special program, but you can join up now. It's going to be starting in February, but you can sign up now or join a mailing list by going to courses, C-O-U-R-S-E-S, dot Jeff Rich Writer, all one word, JeffRichWriter.com. And I'll add a little bit more details about that now, but why don't you sit back and relax, maybe enter that URL into your website now and find out about how civilizations in highlands continue to inspire cultures and geopolitics around the world. Fernandez Ernesto begins his account of the highland civilizations, the civilizations set high in the mountains, whether on a plateau or steep slopes, with a quote from the English 18th century author Samuel Johnson, the famous Dr. Johnson, who wrote an early dictionary of English. And it's a quote from his travel story of a journey to the Western Isles of Scotland. And he says, as mountaineers, by which he means people who live in mountains, not mountain climbers, as mountaineers are long before they are conquered, they are likewise long before they are civilized. And this quote really represents a pretty common stereotype, I guess, of certainly the Scottish Highlanders as being, or you see repetitions of this relatively uncivilized stereotype from others in the way in which many Americans would discuss the Afghani tribes people in their highland fastnesses. So it's a pretty common stereotype of the highland civilizations being madly defensive, neurotic about their security, and isolated and rather lacking in the luxuries and whatnot of civilized life down in the lowlands. But this is very much not is very much a cliche, and one that, of course, Fernandez Ernesto helps us get beyond. Among the highland civilizations that are described by Fernandez Ernesto are New Guinea, Zimbabwe, Ethiopia, Iran, Tibet, and of course Mesoamerica, Mexico, and the Andes, the Aztecs, and the Incas. And he really identifies, I guess, three broad characteristics of these environments in their interaction with the civilization. First of all, the thing about highlands is there's lowlands below. And so to some degree, the highlands civilizations are very much defined partly by their relationship with the lowlands civilization down below. And that is not necessarily a relationship of isolation or vulnerability. Sometimes the highland civilization is the dominant one in terms of power and economy and exploits and has a lot of makes a lot of use of the lowland civilizations or lowland cultures, let's call them. The second thing is, well, you know, it's a lot more, there's a lot of security and defensibility about the positions in a mountain. So there is not a sense of impregnability, but a strong a sense of the security of some of these civilizations. And finally, the third big thing, and this is something that, given my rather poor knowledge of the science of geography, I didn't really know before reading Felipe Fernandez Ernesto's book, is as you climb the slopes of the highlands, it means there are lots of different little climates along the way and lots of little ecological niches, so that as you travel a relatively short distance, you can actually encounter enormous diversity of resources and plant products and animal products, weather and sort of ecological niches. So this is quite sustaining for many of these highland civilizations. I guess perhaps amongst the most famous of highland civilizations really are the Aztecs and the Incas of Mesoamerica and the Andes. And these two are broadly in different kinds of geographical setups. Mesoamerica is much more of a, I think this is right, I think Mesoamerica is more of a high plateau, whereas the Andes are sort of more a long, sloped, narrow strip with great diversity, but quite a lot of slope along the way. And this, to some degree, also shaped some of their different character and qualities. Both the Aztecs and the Incas, which were both around when, you know, the Spanish conquistadors arrived from around about 1500 on, were actually relatively recent cultures, societies, civilizations. The Aztecs were a particularly aggressive sort of conquest state, and the Incas had built a rather impressive centralized sort of empire in the Andes. But they were both surrounded by ruined predecessor cultures. There had been multiple attempts before to found civilization or to build civilizations in these environments, some of which were magnificently successful and are described in Fernandez and Mesto's book, but all of which also ended up in ruin. And both the military aggressiveness, I guess, of the Aztec state and the centralizing power of the Inca state created a lot of internal strife that was a contributing factor to weakness of those societies' encounter with the conquistadors. But it's really the Incas, perhaps, that most impress Fernandez and Mesto in some ways, and that's partly because he says they were the most successful in civilizing. If you look at all around the world in the early 16th century, he described the Inca Empire as the most successful in civilizing the largest range of environments of any place on Earth. So Fernandez of Mesto says that the Andes form a long, thin chain. The Inca Empire stretched along them over more than 30 degrees of latitude. From east to west, across their peaks, rainfall and cloud cover are contorted into extremes of difference. The steepness of the mountains means that a great diversity of environments can be found concentrated in a small space. Between sea and snow, different ecozones are stacked as if in tiers, T-I-E-R-S. The Puna grasslands, which occupy altitudes of between about 12,000 and 15,000 feet, are broken up by intense patches of cultivable soils wherever the subsoils retain heat or moisture. And these grasses also, unlike in the Mexican area, supported the famous, I guess, South American domesticated animals, the llama, the alpaca, and the vicuna. The valleys in this area also tend to have less quality rainfall, so it's less likely for those societies to organize irrigation. And the valley structure makes for an extraordinary range of microclimates and specialized biota to supplement the universal diet of potatoes, maize, beans, chilies, peanuts, and sweet potatoes. Fernandez Mesto also has just a couple of observations on the nature of the worldview and how that differed very much between the Incas and the Aztecs. He says of the Aztecs that the world vision reflected in Inca art is painfully, uncompromisingly abstract. Human and animal forms are spatchcocked and straightened by weavers and goldsmiths. An unyielding imagination is embodied in crushing architecture, the exactly dressed masonry in gigantic slabs, the unflinching symmetry, the exclusion of any bending or bowing or any gesture imitated from nature. There is less naturalistic art among the Inca than in Islam. Of course, Inca also had a form of knotted writing, which may have carried stories, but no one has ever been able to work that out. There was a fair bit of terror and a fair bit of human sacrifice in the Inca system as well. And I feel at some point I must do a special episode on either both, maybe even both, the Incas and the Aztecs, because they're fascinating cultures that I'd like to know more about. And I always remember Inga Clendinnen, who was a historian at Melbourne Uni, wrote a marvellous, marvellous book about the Aztecs. So I think I might return to that on another episode. But for now, I think we'll just mention that both the Inca and the Aztec resisted to some degree, and the Inca for quite a long time, well into the 16th century and beyond, and their cultural memory is increasingly significant, or has been very, very significant to the various Latin American and Central American states of today. It would be interesting actually to just think about the use of some of these, let's call them unconventionally honoured civilizations in modern geopolitics. A thought for another day, perhaps. And I hope that gives you a bit of a taste for some of the extraordinary civilizations that have flourished in highland environments. The Aztecs, the Incas, some of the preceding Mesoamerican and Andean civilizations that dated before the Incas and the Aztecs and others. And also others, like in the mountains of Afghanistan, the mountains of Scotland, where, of course, some of my ancestors come from. Also in New Guinea, one of Australia's near neighbours, one of Australia's former colonies, New Guinea, which is also one of the birthplaces of agriculture, which we often forget. And if that whets your appetite to explore Felipe Fernandez Mesto's civilizations a little more, why don't you check out my course at courses.jeffrichrider. World History Explorers Season 1 is going to be exploring Felipe Fernandez Mesto's book Civilizations. We will go through all these environments in a little bit more detail, and you can enroll now. So go to courses.jeffrichrider.com, and I'd love to see you there. There'll be weekly discussions, there'll be extra materials, and I will take you through this wonderful book that will help you explore world history one book at a time, to go on a superb world tour of all the civilizations in all the environments of the world in 90 days. And you can do that by enrolling at courses.jeffrichrider.com. I'll be back next week and talking about civilizations of seas and oceans, including looking at the extraordinary civilization that prospered in what is now Indonesia, Sriwijaya, in the sort of, I guess, early Middle Ages, or in the Middle Ages from a European historical context. Sriwijaya, one of the extraordinary seaboard civilizations that's discussed in Felipe Fernandez Mesto's Civilizations. And perhaps a timely one to look at, because that extraordinary nation, Indonesia, has just had an election, and perhaps there's a growing sense of Indonesia's growing place in the new multipolar world. Okay, until then, everyone, please take care, enjoy yourselves, and do remember, what thou lovest well will not be reft from thee.